الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأن رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم قال اتق الله حيثما كنت واتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن رواه الترمذي في سننه. Respected elders, brothers in Islam, today's hadith is a saying of our beloved messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, in which he offers the believers three important pieces of advice. In this hadith, the first advice tendered by our Prophet is اتق الله حيث ما كنت, that wherever you are, in whichever state you are in, اتق الله, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa in Arabic is a very difficult term or word to translate. Some people have translated it as the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some translate taqwa to mean God consciousness, to have this feeling that Allah is there in front of you. Others have translated the word as to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are different ways of defining this word. From a Arabic point of perspective, from the common root word from its language base, we find that the word taqwa comes from the word wiqaya. And wiqaya means to save oneself, bachna. So on that basis, the ulama ikram say that principally the meaning of taqwa is to save yourself, i.e. to save yourself from the fire of hell. So anything that you do, any action that you perform to take you away from the fire of hell will be considered as the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second part relates to sins. Now different religions have different attitudes and different philosophies about when a person makes a mistake or a person commits a sin in their religion. And what you will find is that Islam quite clearly has the most common sense and natural attitude to when people commit a sin. It has the attitude and it has the philosophy which is most suited to the human being. Why? The reason for this is simple. Is that Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepts that man by nature is weak. Our religion accepts that a person, when he is born up until he dies, he will not live like an angel. He will not be completely free from sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts and acknowledges that a person by nature of being a human will make mistakes throughout his lifetime. And in fact, the ulama ikram mentioned that the reason why man is not perfect is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show his forgiving nature. He wants to show his maghfirat. And in fact, there's a very powerful hadith on this topic in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described to his companions that just imagine there was a community of people, a small community, who were absolutely perfect, who had never committed a sin in their lives, who lived like angels and never committed any mistake whatsoever, and they always worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his companions, what do you think Allah would do with such a community? And quite clearly the companions thought that Allah would bless this community, Allah would show his mercy upon this community, give them a place in paradise. Yet what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith, that if such a perfect community existed who had never committed a sin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would destroy this community. He would destroy them, eradicate them and replace them with people who do commit sins, just so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can show his forgiving nature. This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So going back to this point, that Islam accepts that we do make mistakes, but what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Islam teaches us, that is the best reaction we can do when we make a mistake, is to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kullu ibn Adama khatta, every son of Adam is a person who makes mistake. وَكُلُّ الْخَطَّاءِ التَّوَّابُونَ. And the best, those of those who make mistakes, are the ones who repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the way to have our sins forgiven is to seek repentance. But in this hadith specifically, we are told another way that our minor sins can be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What بِإِسَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْهُهَا. What here the Prophet says is that when you have committed an error, when you have committed a mistake, if straight after it you perform a good action, a righteous action, then automatically that righteous action will erase that bad action that you performed. That it will wipe it out, it will almost cover it. So Islam, one method of our sins being forgiven is to seeking repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking tawbah. But here we are told that another way of doing it is just by following it up with a good deed. And this is reflected in the Holy Quran as well, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُزْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. That indeed the hasanat, the good actions, يُزْهِبْنَ, they take away the سَيِّئَاتِ, they take away the bad deeds that we perform. So this is the second piece of advice tendered by the Prophet, that it accepts that we are prone to error, we can make mistakes, but the best way to react to these mistakes is to seek the forgiveness of Allah, to repent to Him, and to follow up that bad act with a good act. And what that will do is tamhuha, it will wipe it out. It will wipe it as if it never existed. The third piece of advice tendered by our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith is وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. And show good behavior towards fellow humans. That your akhlaq, they should be akhlaq hasana. They should be of the best type of characteristics. And again, perhaps we see that Islam is at the forefront in trying to promote good akhlaqs. Remember going back to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he preached his message in Makkah Sharif, when he first gave the message of Islam. You will remember that at first, preaching the message of Islam was very difficult for the Prophet. Many people accepted, but an equal number rejected the message of Islam. The Prophet went through much hardship and he tried all the possible means to convert people to Islam. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported the Prophet by giving him miracles. And when the people saw the miracles, some people did accept Islam. But again, some people did not accept it when they saw these miracles. We saw that, for instance, on the night of Mi'raj, a great miracle given to the Prophet. Afterwards, some people did accept Islam, but an equal number didn't. My point is that in the beginning of Islam, what was the main factor by which people converted to Islam? What was the main force when people did begin to accept Islam? What was the reason behind them accepting Islam? It wasn't because of the miracles. It wasn't because they had suddenly become educated or intellectually minded, the kuffar of Makkah. The main driving force and the main factor behind the mass conversion of people in Makkah Sharif in the early days was that they saw the flawless and perfect character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They saw his akhlaq, and it was his akhlaq that converted them to Islam. They thought to themselves that here is a person who has lived amongst us for 40 years. He's never lied. He is the most trustworthy. Whenever we have a dispute, we go to him. Why on earth would he suddenly start lying now about these religious affairs? This is what the Kuffar in Makkah thought to themselves. They thought to themselves that this is a man who has always told the truth. Now the religion that he is preaching, if he has always talked common sense, if he has always had wise things to say prior to the age of 40, why all of a sudden would he start talking rubbish now? Why would we consider his religion to be based on falsity? They thought to themselves that this is the Prophet who we cannot find any defects in him. He has lived for 40 years in front of us, and we cannot find any small or large default in him, or any defect in him. Why on earth would he suddenly start lying to us? Why would he start cheating with us? Why would he try to deceive us now? And gradually people began to realize, and that's the main reason why people converted to Islam. It was the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today the same message is reflected. When you look back to the awliya ikram, the likes of Khaja Muinuddin Chishti and Data Sahib and all of these great awliya ikram that have lived, again, yes, many of them did perform karamats. Many of them did perform miracles by which people converted to Islam. And many of them were obviously great intellectual figures who had wise things to say and to teach them. But the mass conversion, the reason why people converted at the hands of the like of Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayh and Khaja Muinuddin Chishti rahmatullahi alayh, is because of their akhlaq. It's because of their character. And today as well, the main way that people will convert to Islam and realize its beauty is not by reading books, but rather looking at our akhlaqs. They will look at our character, and from there they will realize the beauty of Islam. So we must remind ourselves that perhaps some other religions, they do not give so much emphasis to this idea of good ethical traits, of good moral characteristics. But in Islam, the akhlaq, the moral traits of a person, is the means by which we can become the most perfect of believers. In another hadith, the Prophet says, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا, that the most complete believer in terms of faith is the one who has the best akhlaq. And to finish, I will read one other saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said that إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنْ يُدْرِكُ دَرَجَاتِ قَائِمِ اللَّيْلِ صَائِمِ النَّهَارِ, that a Muslim, imagine there is one Muslim who by day he fasts and by night he performs prayer all night. He's staying up at night performing namaz and during the day he is fasting. Obviously this person will be very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in this hadith the Prophet says that a person just with his good akhlaq, he can reach the same status as this person who fasts during the day and keeps namaz at night. And what is the reason behind this? Because when a person has good akhlaq, he affects others around him. When a person is performing salah and when he is keeping fast, then in reality it's for himself. He will get the jaza for that. On the day of judgment, it will go into his account. But when a person has good akhlaq, that he calls people in a smiley and in a nice manner, that he performs salam to his youngsters and to his elders, when he does not swear, when he does not backbite to others, when he does all of these things, it is good for him and it's good for others as well. The effects of good akhlaq does not stay with that person. By nature of the good ethics that we have, it spreads and it passes on to others. That is why we give so much emphasis and so much weight to this idea of akhlaq in Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to follow the perfect traits of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Wa ma alayna illa al-balaghul mubeen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim wa salli alayhi. Allahumma rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Allahumma a'inna ala tilawati al-Qur'ani wa zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi wa nuri arshihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arham.